you did to Malzberg?
Steve Malzberg used to be a phone screener when I was at WABC. Steve Malzberg. He seemed like a good guy. Yeah, there was a sports talk show, Art Russ Jr., on before me when the WABC was transitioning to music of all talk. But, you know, we had some talk shows at night. And Steve Malzberg was Art Russ Jr.'s producer screener. Give me a lot of headphone, okay? Got it? Well, you've probably heard the big news that Donald Trump is going to stay out of the debate that's coming up. He doesn't like Megyn Kelly, and she doesn't like him, and there's somebody, Lewandowski, who says that she's absolutely obsessed with him. And I was laying in bed last night thinking to myself, if she, and I'm in the studio, by the way, with Mike McKay, mentor/tormentor. And
good morning.
Good morning. And I was thinking, you know, Mike, last night there is this thing, it's in the movie Apocalypse Now, but if you kill the king, you become the king. And I'm thinking, if one of these hotshot commentators could knock Trump off, the final, he's gone too far, he can't last beyond this, or attack him, give him the question, the end all be all question, then they become the greatest commentator.
Well, I think her brand has risen significantly at Fox. Obviously, she's gotten a lot of publicity because of this so-called, I think it's a one-way feud, frankly, between Donald Trump and Megyn Kelly. But clearly, her star is rising at Fox. And I'm not willing to necessarily accept the premise that she is obsessed. I don't see any evidence that she is obsessed with Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm just
staying above the fray, is she not?
She entered into the fray by taking a cheap shot at him. In my opinion, Fox News is supposed to be not about the PC movement. Fox News is a kind of an antidote to political correctness. It's a view from the right or whatever. When she came in and she defended women, a lot of people took that as her defending feminism, which is part of political correctness. That's one take on it anyway.
Well, do we want our next president, if in fact Donald Trump will be our next president, to go around calling women bimbos and fat and ugly? And what women want?
If I can quote only Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, he made a joke. That, oh, yeah, only Rosie O'Donnell. He got a good laugh at it. And I even laughed at when he originally said it. But at the same time, it's not limited to Rosie O'Donnell.
Do we want our president to insult people? All things being equal, no.
Yeah, I mean, the whole, I like most people, don't like political correctness when it's carried to an extreme, but there is a certain amount of decorum that one expects from our leaders.
All right, so let me ask you,
lacking in that.
Let me ask you this. Don't we accept people warts and all at the highest level? For example, we knew that Barack Obama had kind of a socialist womb that he was raised in. His mom is his dad, his grandparents, and everything. We knew that. We knew that Bill Clinton had his bimbo eruptions. We've got information on these top-notch politicians, but you can't have a hermetically sealed, totally clean candidate.
Exactly. And obviously, there are no human beings that are perfect. And so everybody has a certain amount of warts, but one has to assume, yeah, you'll forgive so-and-so this, because they're really good at that. So if you accept the premise that Donald Trump is falls into that category, fine. Others don't. I mean, after all, will he really? You can't just not think about what you're going to say and just say it out there without having it repercussions. You know, obviously, it's one thing when you're running for office. But once you're in office, you have to have a certain behavior.
That's fine.
And
that's fine.
Treat even people who are not your friends with a certain amount of respect and decorum. And but he doesn't show evidence that he would do that at this point.
Mike, a lot of people are going to look at the president that we have now. He's either a disappointment or a failure. I think if you're on the left, he's been somewhat of a disappointment. On your, if you're on the right, he's an antagonistic failure. People are going to say, Trump is going to be better than this guy. He's going to be better than this guy. And whether this, you know, our present president talks well of women or not, he's been overall, he's been a critic of America. He's not enthusiastic about us. He goes,
who's been a,
been a critic of America. He goes to foreign countries and apologizes for us and makes rude comments. They'll take anybody like Trump over something like that because we now are doubting ourselves. We've been mired in a recession that's been kind of dragging along for quite a while. People don't have the faith in America they used to have, and they a lot of people will finger point at the president.
Well, I think a lot of people are in the middle, are obviously not happy with their lot in life, perhaps, because when you go back 30, 40 years, real income has not grown
right
the way it traditionally did in this country. But again, you look at 30, 40 years, to blame this all on Barack Obama is ludicrous. And when you think back to 2008, I know you folks don't like to hear this. We were hemorrhaging 800,000 jobs a month. The unemployment was out of sight.
But
the national debt was higher.
Mike,
so we are relatively better off 8 years later than we were 8 years ago.
Mike, you know, these are sound bites. I mean, people know how they feel about their life, about their jobs, about their family, about the government. And I think a lot of these factors are down, and people are going to say 2008 is unacceptable. Now is unacceptable.
Yeah, our circumstances are not quite the way they were in 2008.
But didn't the present occupant of the White House get a lot of traction off of blaming the person before him?
Well, sure, of course he did. And that's why he was elected. So
why isn't all of this his fault is going to be the argument?
Because one can't just transform the world. I think anybody who is disappointed in the presidency of Barack Obama, perhaps because there was so much optimism and all of which, you know, the hope and change and stuff didn't quite happen because reality happened. Would you not agree that definitively by so many different metrics, we are better off now than we were 8 years ago? I just look at the numbers. I mean, how can you
I think
argue against that?
We were sold a bill of goods, I believe, that this so-called financial crisis that was just about to occur. I don't believe that.
Skyping in from Nashville, Tennessee, the chief political correspondent for USA Radio Network's Scotty Nell Hughes, and also via Skype, but checking in from Connecticut, Newsmax TV political analyst Dick Morris. Dick, of course, the author of the best-selling book, Power Grab, Obama's Dangerous Plan for a One-Party Nation. Folks, Donald Trump was on MSNBC's Morning Joe earlier today, and he had some pretty rough things to say about Ted Cruz. Let's look and listen.
Sort of thing.
Guys like Bush and Rubio and Christie and so on who are getting 7, 8, 10, 12% of the vote.
I have friends that are in the FBI, and they tell me they're ready to indict.
And so we were talking about the possibility of Hillary Clinton getting getting hit by an indictment, some people are saying is right around the corner, although, you know, they've been saying that for a while. So, all right. So and the argument there is that somewhere in the government, there's a debate between the FBI, the head of the FBI, and the president's people. All right. And the argument would go somewhere along the lines of, if Hillary Clinton gets indicted, I mean, you know, the first place, it might be kind of a hard, it might be a hard issue to understand because it is, excuse me, it is, it's a little bit obtuse. It's a little bit hard to follow this email thing. I mean, although the idea of sending classified information off your own server is, you know, it's not rocket science. So the upshot on that is that if Hillary gets indicted, then her candidacy goes away. Then it becomes 10 times harder for the Democrats to stay in office, their party to stay in the White House. If their party doesn't stay in the White House, basically everybody who's been involved with this has stated something along the lines of, you know, that the president's agenda and a lot of his achievements are going to be, you know, his executive decisions, which are not run through the Congress, will be invalidated, will be stopped, will be canceled. In addition to that, you've got then somebody who would be willing to sign off on Obamacare being canceled, that type of thing. So that's the issue. Now, I've got a little clip here on Lewandowski, who is a person, I think, who's supporting Trump, and I think that he's saying that Megyn Kelly is obsessed with Trump.
Pretty simple. All he's saying is, you know.
All right.
I've got somebody that's been hostile against me now for 6 months. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's see what's going on.
Joining us by phone, we have Donald Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski. Corey, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Any chance that he will do this debate in any way, shape, or form? Any way to turn this around?
I just don't think so. I mean, what you have with Mr. Trump is you have a clear leader, a person who he said at best is not going to be toyed with, a person who understands when a bad deal is in front of him and is ready to walk away from a bad deal, something that this country should be able to do. And I just don't see any way where Fox is going to have a successful debate now when you've got the clear GOP frontrunner who's decided to walk away from this debate because he can't be treated fairly on the debate stage. And you've got a network that wants to make news not about what they're going to ask the candidates about the policy issues, but about personal attacks. So, you know, maybe Fox was going to have a 20 or 25 million person debate, but without Mr. Trump's participation, I think they might have a 1 or 2 million person debate.
And so what was Donald's reaction when he got the press release yesterday? Did he know from the moment that he got the goading press release, it was really more like a trolling of Trump, that he was not going to do the event?
Well, I think it was very clear. It's very hard to appear with someone, you know, a network, which is going to be as biased as they have been against him. As soon as they put that press release out, you know, it was clearly a statement which, you know, they did it just to get his attention. This is something that Fox wanted to do to increase their ratings as it related to more people watching this debate. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, what we know is that Megyn Kelly is totally obsessed with Mr. Trump. She's done show after show about, you know, why the media shouldn't be having him on television. Donald Trump is the best debater on the debate stage. We know this. He's a clear winner. He has been by every debate poll that's taken place. He's not afraid to debate, and I want to be very clear about this. He's done more television, more radio than all of the other candidates combined. And so he's not afraid to answer questions. He's on your show all the time. He was on yesterday.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you have people who aren't going to be fair and ask questions that the American people want to talk about, and instead they want to make this about themselves. And that's what this is about, and it's a shame.
All right. So here, if you're wondering what was said in this news release, which is a very strange news release. and I'm looking for, okay, I thought I had it here, but I'll go back and try to find it somewhere else. But it had said something about like Putin and the Ayatollah, that it was just weird. Okay, so I might have it here on a site called Hot Air. Been over this thing. Okay, and all right, so I'm going to have to take a break, I think, and I had found it. I've got to have it in my notes here, so okay, here it is, I think, from the Washington Post. And the story of this particular article is Trump debate withdrawal is backfiring big time on Fox News. And one of the reasons that it's backfiring is all of these cable enterprises, they do get paid subscriptions from people, but they also sell ads. So if you can't, you know, if you cut down, and they say that the number of people who don't, that are not going to watch this Trump debate, a Trumpless debate, I should say, that the numbers are, I don't know, it's like 12%, 5% of the people said they'll still watch it. But here's what the statement said that upset the Donald. Fox News sent out a statement, and they said, "We learned from a secret back channel that the Ayatollah and Putin both intend to treat Donald Trump unfairly when they meet with him if he becomes president. Dash, a nefarious source tells us that Trump has his own secret plan to replace the cabinet with his Twitter followers to see if he should even go to those meetings." And so I've got Eric Trump, a statement from Eric Trump, his son, here, and I'll play for you in just a second. We'll have to take a little break here. But here is, by the way, Toots Thielman and Elise Regina, who is considered the greatest singer of her time in Brazil. Little Bossa Nova and Chromatic Harmonica. 643 Kelly O'Connell. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450. We'll be right back. It's Kelly.
Kelly, I think it'd be really nice if Mike McKay would stay on longer than 30 minutes. He's very interesting. He's obviously got an opposite view of you. And it would be nice to have him stay. Can it be required? Can we put it in his contract or something?
Well, he's kind of the boss here, so he...
He does what he wants. Tell him to bring Dave Ramsey back, darn it. I want that show on the air. That is the best financial show, despite his religious affiliation, that was ever on the radio. But Mike is just equal to almost to Walt, and I love having him on. So I wish you would try to convince him to stay on longer.
I will let him know your opinion.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kathy. Have a good day.
Okay. You too.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
All right, so the issue is Trump not going to the debate, and the numbers are going to be way down. Of course they're going to be way down. I mean, Trump's an entertaining guy, and without him it would have been a very boring year for the preview, you know, for the run up to the primaries and everything. So here is the son of Trump, who trying to see what he looks like. He looks older than his dad. Well, he looks as old as his dad, Eric Trump, and got his hair kind of combed back, wearing a tan shirt. But anyway, here's what he has to say about this this whole kerfuffle over the Trump dropping out of the debate.
I think upset the, or at least at Breitbart yesterday, we were stunned by, honestly, is, you know, because you're two in the front, Megyn Kelly this, but, you know, Donald Trump this, you're going back and forth. And all of a sudden, Fox puts out a press release that mocks a guy. And by the way, whether you love Donald Trump or hate Donald Trump, whether you're a Ted Cruz guy, a Dr. Ben Carson guy, a Rubio guy, this guy, just the math lays out that he's leading this race, and sometimes by 20 and 30 points. That's just a mathematical fact. To have a network, a news network, send out a press release that takes our two mortal enemies, the Persians and the Ayatollah, and Putin and the Russians, and makes it like some mockery thing. How is a guy supposed to be commander-in-chief? I mean, would Bill Paley do that at CBS back in the old days? Would the heads of NBC do that in the old days? Would ABC News do that in the old days? Has anybody in the history of media ever sent out a press release to a presidential candidate who's leading, not some marginal guy where they've never done it, but a guy that's leading because the American people, at least now mathematically, are saying they support him, and they would mock him as commander in chief? Who does that?
Listen, we're winning in every state, Steve, as you said, and it's kind of amazing. I mean, it gives the American people, actually, I think, their first look into politics. It's something I'd never seen before until, you know, I got kind of back, you know, the back row seat to this whole crazy race. But, you know, it shows that there's a couple of people up at the top who try and control politics a lot more, right? I mean, this should be the decision of the American people. This should be the decision of them, not, you know, the decision of some network which wants to influence, you know, which candidate will ultimately be, you know, the head of the GOP. And that's really what's happening. And it's really kind of disingenuous. And, you know, politics have really been turned on their face, right? I mean, my father is winning. He's winning it while getting hit, quite frankly, by both sides, Republicans and Democrats. And it's really the people who are rallying behind him saying, listen, we're sick of this nonsense. You know, we're sick of this rigged system. We're sick of this game. You know, we're sick of people kind of pandering and being politically correct on everything. And it's one of the reasons so many people love him and the message. And, you know, I could not be more proud of him. He is an amazing guy. He is doing so well. I mean, 6 months ago, the two of us were building hotels all over the world and having a great time. And now, I mean, now he's winning this race and has really started almost a revolution in this country. And, you know, even if he did lose, and by the way, I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win the GOP. I think he's going to win the entire thing. But even if he did lose, he's reinvented politics in this country. He's gotten a generation, including myself. I'm a young guy. I'm 32. He's gotten my generation, you know, excited about politics for the first time. There are real business leaders out there who are saying, you know what? It doesn't have to be the guy on Capitol Hill for the last 40 years who becomes commander in chief. You know, if we have a good idea and we can get a great rally behind us and we can –
Well, you hear where that's headed. And now the guy that I was talking about was the host. That explains why he looks so old. His son, I guess, is 32. We'll take a little break here and then come back and finish that up. 650 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE.
All right, so we've got a couple of clips here for you, one of which is Bob Beckel saying that the head – understand that these billionaires are in their own league, as you know, but think about it from this angle. Trump is in some way in competition with Rupert Murdoch, who started Fox News. He's also in competition with other billionaires because they're at the very top of the mountain. So for one billionaire to take exception to another billionaire because they're uppity and they think they can be the president doesn't surprise me, but I think it's sad that Rupert Murdoch is misusing his channel to go after Trump when it's arguably the only conservative cable channel. So where does Trump go to get treated fairly? I thought that Megyn Kelly's question last time was a disgrace that she opened up with. The disgrace part of it, though, wasn't that it was a hard question, but it was a gotcha question that was meant to push him out of the race. And Bret Baier did the same thing. So I look down on that. I mean, give the guy a level playing field. And if he screws up, if he's a bad candidate, he'll screw up on his own. You don't have to set him up anywhere. Here is Bob Beckel. I played this yesterday, but I want to play it again.
Remember that Fox did buckle to Trump in another debate, one and two. Rupert Murdoch has been against Trump from the beginning. He's warmed to him slightly, but in the beginning, he came out against Trump, if you remember.
Yeah.
And now he says he wants to meet one-on-one, but a CEO to CEO, a $2 or $3 billion business versus a $27 billion business. But I don't, and the other thing is, I may be dead wrong about this, but I've known Roger Ailes for 35 years. That did not sound to me like a Roger Ailes tweet. Now, that doesn't mean.
All right. So I'll play again for you where Trump said he was mistreated. But I mean, I read the tweet. I read the Twitter or whatever it was. And it was bizarre. I mean, it sounded childish, you know. But here's a little bit of Trump's reaction.
I don't think not showing up at the debate tomorrow night is good for America. Voters are still assessing you. They need to see you in high-profile situations. Or am I wrong?
Well, I think you're wrong because, frankly, when you're mistreated, as we were with the Iran deal, our country should have walked. Secretary Kerry, President Obama should have walked from that deal. You would have made a much better deal. I was not treated well by Fox. They came out with this ridiculous PR statement. It was like drawn up by a child. And it was a taunt. And I said, you know, how much of this do you take? I have zero respect for Megyn Kelly. I don't think she's very good at what she does. I think she's highly overrated. And frankly, she's a moderator. I thought her question last time was ridiculous. And everybody said I won the debate. In fact, everybody said I won all six debates, and especially the last one. So I don't mind debating.
Let's look at it. All right. So anyway, that was his response. But you know what? I saw the tweet. I couldn't believe it. It was so ridiculous. And I mean, so why are they trying to provoke this guy? And I think part of it is they're frustrated. They can't kill him off. All of these moderators, and it's every single week you see somebody that is saying Trump has gone too far. He's skipping this debate. People won't accept this. He's finished. I mean, it just gives me some insight into the power of these people, but also their egos that they think, you know, they're working at a national level, they have an opinion on something and hundreds of thousands or millions of people are taking in that opinion. They can affect news. They're not just commentators. And they were all trying to push this guy out of the race. That's one of the things that's the most entertaining about this is that you've got all of these people trying to gang up on him. It reminds me of the statement from, I think, Jonathan Swift. You'll know when there a genius appears in the world because the dunces are in a confederacy against him. And it kind of reminds me of that. He's taken all of these people who make their livings, their whole living is their opinion, and they've all gone way out on a limb and say he'll be done. You know, you don't have to worry about him. He's going to kill himself. He's going to say something that's so outrageous people are not going to accept it. And it hasn't happened. It's been the exact opposite of that. And as a matter of fact, Trump said the last couple of days that if he went up and shot somebody in the face in Times Square, his people would still be behind him, which is, in my opinion, an ill-advised comment. But it's not a comment that is going to push him out of the race, because nothing seems to push this guy out of the race. It's entertaining to see that. It is also entertaining for him. I think that his power, besides his success, his power comes from stating the obvious, which seems like, you know, when you're dealing with politicians, how often they do things that are counterintuitive, and you just have to say, well, they can do it because they want to, or I guess they have a better plan that I can understand, but it doesn't make any sense to me. He gets up and says the common sense response to a lot of this stuff, and I think that's where his power comes from. People feel like they're reattached to the process when the leader or one of the top people is actually saying things that they can understand and that they validate from their own gut. So you're listening to AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, and we'll come back and do it again on the second hour, and I'll have some local news and some weather for you as well and some sports.
I was half asleep when your eyes met mine. It was eternity. But now we know the way that's on its way to be.
And it's 7:06. It is the 28th. And I did want to mention that I got a phone call to ask for more mic time, more time for Mike McKay. So from guess who? No, it wasn't Frankie. But anyway, I thought the purpose of talk radio was to throw a little conservative edge on the news, bearing in mind that there's a lot of angles. There's a lot of sources that are pretty liberal, but, you know, it makes you wonder when you see Fox News go after the Trumpster, how fair and balanced they are, you know? I mean, everybody's got their opinion, right? So maybe Rupert Murdoch just kind of forced his opinion into his company he owns, you know? Would that be wrong? I don't know. Maybe it would. All right. So I've got for you, I'm going to talk about this story that came through the on the local story with Kiki and the county commission. To talk about that. And I'm also going to do a little bit of news weather for you. So from the Weather Channel, there's this storm that just hit is kind of taking our attention off the rest of the country. But I think that we're going to get something in the Pacific Northwest here coming up, as we've had repeatedly, and it's going to go down into California as well.
All right, the next big cross-country storm is on deck, and this is likely to come in the Pacific Northwest by Sunday. So we're talking a lot with this storm as it moves across the country. Not only big-time snowfall is expected with this through the Rockies and the Plains, where we could potentially see blizzard conditions on Monday, but there's a big severe element to this. Monday evening right into Tuesday. So a lot with this system. This is something that will affect a good portion of the country. Really pretty much everybody as it moves from west to east. By Wednesday, you can see rain up and down the East Coast. This is something we'll be monitoring over the next couple of days, and it's something you'll definitely want to keep your eye out for.
All right, so that storm is supposed to enter from the Pacific Northwest down through California, and it is supposed to come through here as well to a certain extent. So we'll keep you posted on that, but it is El Nino. It's obviously a different kind of thing than we've seen before, this winter weather pattern. And we're going to see what else you might. Oh, let me just give you some headlines here. Hillary headache, FBI decision during heat of election. Susan Sarandon, what has she done that we're bragging about? General Sanders. Microsoft could rig caucus. Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei calls the Holocaust a fake. Yeah, that's a shock that he'd say something like that. There's a virus out there called the Zika, and they say it could become a pandemic. It is spreading explosively, and there's been a couple of different articles, whether it's from the Common Edo, and some articles have even suggested it could be passed on through sexual contact. And fans are outraged that a white actor is going to be playing Michael Jackson, but wasn't that Michael Jackson's dream? Wouldn't he be flattered? Wasn't it one of his dreams to be white? Didn't he supposedly whiten his skin his whole life? The woman who lives as a cat, hisses at dogs, sees better at night. Don't you wish she lived next door to you so you could feed her on the back porch? Trump is leading in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. And we've already been talking about his feud here. So Bloomberg editor quits. We can't cover Michael Bloomberg aggressively. Bloomberg is thinking about running. He's worth $7 or $8 billion. And they say that that he would spend $1 billion. He's going to decide by March if he's going to run, but I don't see that he would have a prayer. We've already got one billionaire in the race. I mean, the novelty is over in terms of that. Scientists have opened the black box on schizophrenia. They have found a gene in the people that suffer from this terrible mental problem, in which they say that the brain or the body sends out a command to start eating brain cells, and that's one of the problems there. Some people are still snowbound in the D.C. area, and they're calling it abandoned. So, you know, we're talking days and days of being snowbound, which is quite a while in these days. Michael Sam, the gay defensive end, says, I'm going to give it one more shot. I think he's used up his opportunities, though. I don't think they're going to be giving him another shot because he's just too volatile. I mean, his situation was so, you know, he got out into the NFL and then was out, and then he went to the Canadian League. He was there, and then he quit, and he came back, and then he quit to go be with his boyfriend. But they said, you know, he never had a chance to make a team either. And some folks are calling Cam Newton the quarterback of the future. He's the quarterback of the future because his skill set and his attitude is different. He's big. He runs fearlessly. He's 250, 260 pounds. And he's got a strong arm, and he's got strong legs, and he can do it all. And so the line on the game is that he is going to win. So, his team is going to win, but they're not going to win unless he does fairly well. But, you know, there's been a lot of games that I've noticed this where he hasn't scored a passing touchdown. Maybe he's got a running touchdown, or maybe he doesn't have a lot of touchdowns, but the defense on that team is so stellar that this Panther team jumps out to commanding leads in the first half. It's really kind of, you know, it's shocking that the kind of leads they get on other playoff teams. So I've got a little Toots Thielman on the guitar. That's where he started, and I think he played with some pretty top-notch band leaders before he switched to harmonica. Kelly O'Connell, 714 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, 523, 1450, and we'll be back. And what am I going to talk about when I come back? I've got for you... Well, let me get into this virus story, because see if I can get a good clip on that, because it is a big deal. So we'll be right back at 7:14 on AM Las Cruces. All right, so here's a little bit about the Zika virus. Here's a clip from the Wall Street Journal for you on this, but it is a little bit alarming.
As 1.5 million Brazilians may have been infected with the mosquito-borne Zika virus. And now, the U.S. and other countries are also reporting new cases. But what is the Zika virus? It's a tropical disease that's spread to people through mosquito bites. About 1 in 5 people who are infected will develop symptoms like a fever, rash, or red eyes. It's usually a mild disease and rarely requires hospitalization, but it does pose a threat to pregnant women. So why is it considered dangerous to pregnant women?
Zika virus appears to have a particular ability to cause a birth defects when the baby is born to a mother that was infected during pregnancy.
The birth defect called microcephaly causes babies to be born with undersized brains and skulls, a condition that can lead to serious development problems. Brazil has the largest outbreak of Zika ever recorded. Its health ministry has reported at least 3,800 suspected cases of Zika-related microcephaly since October 2015.
deberían considerar posponer el embarazo. 6 meses, 8 meses.
The CDC has warned pregnant women to avoid travel to at least 22 destinations, most in Latin America and the Caribbean. Is Zika likely to spread? Though a handful of cases have been reported in the U.S., health officials say that doesn't mean Zika is starting to spread. The mosquito population is lower in the winter, and those that spread the virus are concentrated in the southern U.S. and Hawaii. The U.S. cases so far are people who were infected with the virus in a country where Zika is circulating. How can you protect yourself from Zika? There is no vaccine or medication to treat the virus. But when traveling to countries where the Zika virus has been reported, use insect repellent, wear long sleeves and pants, and stay in places that have window and door screens.
All right, now here's a little bit from CNN on Zika.
The main concern about the Zika virus is that it has been linked to a rare neurological condition called microcephaly. Babies are born with abnormally small heads.
Our advice to pregnant women is that, if possible, that pregnant women should consider deferring travel to areas where Zika virus is currently circulating.
Authorities in Brazil have reported nearly 4,000 cases of microcephaly tied to the Zika virus. And now the World Health Organization says the Zika virus will likely spread throughout South, Central, and North America, with the exception of Chile in the south and Canada in the north, because the type of mosquito that spreads the virus isn't present in those two countries. In the Central American nation of El Salvador, health authorities have already reported more than 3,800 cases of the Zika virus.
Por eso es que estamos nosotros recomendando.
The Salvadoran Vice Minister of Health took the unusual step of recommending that women avoid getting pregnant for the next 2 years.
Podríamos esperar en Colombia.
Colombian Vice Minister of Health Fernando Ruiz says his country may get as many as 600 cases of microcephaly in the next couple of years. But Dr. Beth Bell with the Centers for Disease Control says it's important to remember that, with the exception of pregnant women, Zika is not dangerous for the population as a whole.
What we know right now is that for the vast majority of people, that is essentially people who are not pregnant, that Zika virus is a pretty mild infection, and actually the majority of people don't have any symptoms.
So far, 21 countries and territories in the Americas have reported cases of the virus, including Brazil, with as many as 1.5 million cases. Health authorities are especially concerned because the South American nation is hosting the Olympic Games this summer.
And I've got one more clip here. I just got a very rude text that says that this person believes that I was infected with the. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much, by the way. All right, so here's one more on Brazil battling Zika virus spread. And then I'm going to play a clip from another very weird story in which a bunch of people on a plane were struck down by a disease while in the air. It's a weird story, but here's a little bit more on Zika.
These are the frontline fighters in Brazil's battle against the rapid spread of the Zika virus. They're fumigating a slum where several cases of the virus have been reported. Zika is a mosquito-borne virus linked to an alarming surge in infants born with serious brain deformations. Gleice Kelly's daughter, Maria Giovanna, is one of them.
They're just showing, on this Reuters clip how they're spraying for it, but they're also showing babies with microcephaly, small heads, so...
with microcephaly after her mother was infected with Zika while pregnant.
Anyway, I don't know if there's any sound on that particular one, but let's get to this other story. The flight was coming in from, it was going from, I believe it was Iceland. It was around Iceland when they were forced to turn back because of this strange malady that had struck people. So here's about this. And they're having a little problem with sound right now. But I don't hear anything from this clip, but just let me just tell you a few of these details. And this is from the Daily Mirror, UK. Mystery illness spread through plane mid-flight, hitting 7 members and passengers, and up to 13 people, up to 7 of the 13 crew members and many passengers were struck down with a strange disease. At this stage, they don't know what it is. British passenger had described the panic on board the American Airlines flight from London Heathrow to LAX. And when the crew asked if there was a doctor on board, and people were taken ill. And Lee Gunn, who was on board the flight, told the Mirror Online about 2.5 hours into the flight, just as we were passing Iceland, we had a tannoy announcement asking for any doctors, nurses, or medical professionals on board to report to the boarding doors to assist with unwell passengers. Lights came on in the cabin. There was a lot of commotion. So they thought they were going to Reykjavik, but they went back to Britain. And the statement from American Airlines was American Airlines flight AA109, a Boeing 777-300 operating to Los Angeles International Airport from London, is returning for a medical emergency. And that's all they said. It's just a bunch of people got sick, and maybe it was food poisoning. But anyway, we'll take a little break, and I'll come back and talk to you about the case that went in front of Judge Arrieta yesterday, which was the or the day before yesterday, I should say, which was the one with the outcome on the control of the jail, et cetera. 727 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. We'll be right back to talk about that case with Sheriff Kiki against the county commissioners over the jail. How exciting. A little bit of Toots Thielman here on the guitar. It's 7:31 here. It is the 28th of January. 28th of January, it's supposed to be 30 degrees outside. So anyway, you're forewarned, you may need a little coat there, but all right. So this is an interesting case with this jail, et cetera. There's some interesting elements I'm going to bring out here. And it's also a little bit fascinating because I know the players, know all the players in this thing too. So here's the title off of the case from Las Cruces Sun News: Judge lets restraining order lapse in Vigil case. And you may have already heard about this, but basically, I guess you could say that Kiki won. And the judge, okay, according to the story, the judge allowed the restraining order to lapse in the case that was put on Kiki, Sheriff Enrique Kiki Vigil, when he took command of the center, the Dona Ana Correctional Center and detention center. And so that was a December 8th restraining order. As you recall, Chris Barella was arrested, the jailer, charged with various things. He was taken out of county, out to Lee County to be processed. Now, Judge Arrieta canceled the restraining order. A TRO, temporary restraining order, is normally to be about 10 days until there can be a hearing. But because of some complications in the case that are very interesting and noteworthy, Sheriff Kiki asked for an extension. Now, part of the reason, the basic reason was that the county
Attorney Nelson Gooden, who's been on the show many times, and the show has a very friendly relationship with, he came in on the side of the county demanding that the sheriff evacuate the building. And as you recall, downtown Julia Brown came in with the restraining order for a reverse slam dunk on the microphone of Kiki. When the judge authorized this. Now, Judge Arrieta is a very interesting guy. He's a very smart guy. He's very careful. And I'm looking at this picture of him here. It appears that he's had a recent haircut. And so Kiki had to retain Gene Chavez, who, from what I understand from the people that saw this, said that he was a very, very talented and informed attorney. And so he was going back and forth with Nelson Gooden, who's also a very smart guy and a very well-spoken person. Arrieta says that it's canceled. And, you have to wonder, is part of the reason that it was canceled because the sheriff was no longer there, so there was no longer there was no longer this temporary situation to restrain. And the article says County Attorney Nelson Gooden objected to Arrieta's decision to allow the temporary restraining order to lapse. And his argument was that he could go back in there and take over the jail again. And then Judge Arrieta responded that there would be nothing to stop them from coming back and getting another TRO. In a quote here, I don't believe the lapse of the temporary restraining order will prohibit the county administration from seeking an injunction down the road. Arrieta says that it was never meant to interfere with the sheriff's ability to carry out a law enforcement investigation at the detention center. And Gene Chavez, who is the attorney for Kiki, says that he doesn't think there's going to be any problem in complying with this. Now, Chavez argues that Gooden shouldn't be representing the county commission and Brown in the matter because he was also obliged to represent the sheriff. And he asked the judge to, basically they're asking the Gooden to be disqualified because he came in on one side of the matter as opposed to another. And he says, here's a quote from the courtroom. In this particular situation, we have a county attorney's office that provides advice to two entities. Gooden responds and says he doesn't think he should be disqualified because Vigil has rebuffed every attempt by the legal department. This is a quote. Vigil has, quote, rebuffed every attempt by the legal department to give him advice, unquote. And he said that there's a question as to whether an attorney-client relationship has ever been formed. So basically, you know, when you have a represent someone, you form a relationship. And goodness said, because, you know, he never cooperated in all of the things that he was doing, that we never formed this relationship, which is a clever response. And but then the response from the sheriff is that Gooden is a person of interest. They're investigating him. And then Gooden's reply is, if I'm a person of interest, this is the first I've ever heard about it. And I've never even been interviewed. And Chavez confirms that Gooden has not been interviewed, but says that he is a person of interest, and he and Julia Brown are being carefully looked over. And then Vigil says he'll wait for Arrieta's decision on the motion to disqualify Gooden. And Kiki says about the whole thing, they ask him what he thought, and he said, I feel good. We'll take a break right here. This round goes to Kiki, but there's going to be more rounds. This is a prize, heavyweight prize fight between Kiki and the county commission, the county attorney, the county manager, et cetera, fill in the blank. Anyway, here's a little salute to Kiki from James Brown. 7:38, we'll be right back. Salute to Kiki.
Wow, I feel good. I
You know, that story about the guy that stole a truck and then he crashed it. This is a very bizarre story. 28-year-old Las Cruces man arrested last Monday. He stole a truck that was carrying an 8-year-old child in the back seat. And he crashed it into a home of the 1600 block of La Fonda Drive. And he critically injured the owner of the pickup, who was struck and pinned against the home. And, you know, I mean, you're looking at the picture of this thing, and in this house, there is just, there's like wood, like, you know, and a hole in the wall and everything. It's just crazy. So he's been charged with intentional child abuse and DWI, causing great bodily harm, both third degree felonies. You know, I would think that they could get him for attempted murder. He's also charged with unlawful taking of a motor vehicle, a fourth degree felony, and driving on a suspended license, which is merely a misdemeanor. But this is one of the strangest stories I have ever seen. And I wonder why they don't charge him with a, you know, could have obviously killed the guy that was pinned. And police were dispatched to the home around 7 p.m. And the corner of the house is just completely obliterated. And the truck is sticking inside of the house. So about halfway. I just kind of wonder about some of these people. And the incident began when Gaytan was allegedly approached by the owner and another man who were attaching a trailer to the owner's red pickup carrying his 8-year-old son. Apparently they approached the wrong guy for help because so I hope the guy's doing well in the hospital, but this guy Gaytan jumped into the seat and anyway, very, very bizarre. I guess they ask a drunk man for help, but should have checked for a driver's license first. But anyway, it is 7:44 right now, and I'm just looking for what other stories you might find of note. But are you going to be listening to the debate without Trump, the Trumpster? I may not. Let us, we'll take a break and I will reload. And there is, trying to see, I guess there's another story or two here, but there's also the national news. Kelly O'Connell, 7:45 a.m. Las Cruces. And 523-1450, 523-1450 to call in. And we will be right back. But a continuing salute here to Kiki, who said, in agreement with James Brown, I feel good after winning his court hearing against the county.
I feel good. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got to hear.
All right, so let's focus just a little bit, the few minutes that we have left, on General Sanders, Bernie Sanders, because it is entirely possible, for a couple of reasons, that Sanders could win. And one of the reasons is because he's coming up big in the numbers. Another reason is because Hillary Clinton could get indicted. So here is a little bit from General Sanders on his chances of winning in Iowa.
Democrats Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders days away from their showdown in Iowa. Sanders was here in Washington, D.C., specifically the White House, where he met with President Obama. It's a meeting planned weeks ago. I caught up with Senator Sanders right after his Oval Office chat, and he told me their conversation covered domestic and foreign policy issues and, yes, politics.
It was a private conversation, so I'm not going to get into it. But I think if there's anybody in the world who understands what campaigning in Iowa and New Hampshire is about, and putting together just an extraordinary grassroots movement that took him to victory, that is Barack Obama.
A few days ago, the president, speaking to Politico, seemed to be speaking in glowing terms about Secretary Clinton, her leadership, her depth of experience.
She can start here day one, more experienced than any non-vice president has ever been who aspires to this office.
Some people say he was tipping his thumb on the scale in her favor. Did you sense that?
No, I don't. Were you bothered by it? Nope, I wasn't. I read the interview, and I thought he was very even-handed. I think there are some people who spun it that way.
Bernie Sanders!
What's your bar for success in Iowa?
Winning.
Number one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have worked really hard. We started off in Iowa later than Secretary Clinton did. But in the last number of months, we have put together an incredible volunteer effort. We have some 15,000 volunteers. And let me be very clear about this, Leslie. On caucus night in Iowa, you will be able to tell very early, I think, who wins and who loses. If there is a large voter turnout, we're going to win.
If you come in second place, what does that mean for the rest of your campaign?
It means that we came in second place in Iowa. We're off on the run into New Hampshire to try to win there.
But is it disappointing? Would it be crushing? Would it get you off your game?
At the end of the day, in terms of delegate selection, if you got 52% or you got 48%, it'll mean very few delegates. Psychologically, obviously, it's important.
Word on the street is you've got a lot of ad dollars you're going to be buying on television. Are you going to be going directly?
Well, who cares about that? But here is a little analysis on who Bernie Sanders is. The heir, the ideological heir to Obama. 523-1450, by the way.
The local TV station, that judging by President Obama's statements the other day, he essentially had endorsed her. Fair and balanced, maybe. We're back with our panel in Washington. Charles?
Well, I think that's exactly what's going on. I thought at the time that the interpretation that was made, not just by Hillary, but by the media, that Obama had essentially endorsed her, I thought that was wrong. I thought he was trying to be balanced. I thought he was a little more effusive about Hillary because he could speak about her personally. After all, he worked with her. But I thought it was a fairly even-handed statement. I think this is an obvious attempt to make sure that he rebalances the scale. After all, I mean, I think the argument can be made, should be made, that Sanders is the natural heir ideologically to Obama, not Hillary. Hillary's wrapping herself in his aura.
It's Kelly who
she
says
thinks associating herself with him is going to help her with the race. But clearly,
Kelly,
the affinity
this?
In terms
Please?
Of political philosophy is between Obama.
Hey, can I put you on hold and I'll bring you on?
The Social Democrat.
Okay.
And
what are we going to talk about?
Who is openly a Social Democrat?
I want to say, we're just a fallen race, you know, no matter what race we are.
Okay, hold
and
on.
We're doomed to fail.
Hold on one second. All right, folks, we got a call from Joel. We've got a call from Joel who's going to talk about the fact that we're a fallen race. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, we're like, no matter what country you're from, you know, we're a fallen race and we're doomed to fail. And it just proves the point where God says, you know, if you believe in the Bible or not, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, it's going to happen. And
all right. So everybody, Joel, everybody's fallen. So, but what in the, you're kind of citing the Bible about that, but what does that,
what's your application of that? What are you trying to say?
Yeah, well, I've been sitting on the days of Noah, you know, when he's prayed for 100 years, and nobody listened to him. He talked about morality. He talked about values. He talked about taking care of what's important, what the important things that make society go on.
Who said that, Joel?
Noah said it.
Oh, Noah said it. Yeah. All right. So
yeah,
well,
maybe 2 years ago.
All right. So what is your application for today?
Well, that we're the same kind of people that we were back then, you know. Doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat or America or Britain or wherever it is, you know. According to our history, human history, we rise and fall, we rise and fall, we rise and fall.
Okay.
And the reason is because we're a fallen race, you know, since we sinned and everything, you know.
All right, so
and we just don't want to admit it.
All right, okay. Well, thank you. We got another call. You it looks like you stirred up another call. Thanks for the call, Joel. Thanks for the call, the Kelly Connors Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Thomas.
Thomas, hey, good morning to you. And what's on your mind?
Well, I was intrigued by your last caller. He's talking about a theological concept, typically known as depravity, and I can appreciate his view. But for your listeners, there are two possibilities about the nature of man. One is that we are as bad as we can be, which your previous caller seems to believe. The other possibility is that we're not as good as we should be. And I prefer the latter because I do think that mankind is capable of some very good and beneficent things.
Obviously, yeah, there's a lot mankind could be proud of. But do you think that is the human race headed up or down or could you say?
I'm realistically optimistic in the sense that I do think that we're capable of good things. I'm not naive enough to say that we're not also capable of some very foul things. But I think philosophically for people to conclude that there's nothing we can do, we're as bad as we can be, that's very pessimistic. It has a profound effect upon daily behavior. And psychologically, I think that it's a disservice to humankind. And, you know, I'm speaking from a theological perspective, so I'm not foreign to his concept.
All right. But you're saying basically if we focus on being depraved, it's going to be depressing. We're not going to reach for a higher level of behavior.
Precisely. With clients, for example, or with anyone for that matter, that people will rise to the level of your expectation. And what I'd like to say to that community that believes that mankind is as bad as we can be, you're basically propagating something that may be self-fulfilling. If we say, you know, we strive to be better, I think that we're capable of doing some good things.
All right. What about the people that say, look at the last century, we've had more human beings murdered in that century than in the history of mankind. We're obviously getting worse. What would you say to those people?
I would say that that's in a sense a very realistic thing to look at. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Is it possible that we're getting worse? Yes, it's possible. But are we going to give in to that then? Are we going to give ourselves over to the fact there's no point in trying? We're just going to fail anyway. And those are the words he used. We're going to fail anyway.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. You've studied this stuff. Do you still have a theological view of life, or is it more humanistic, or what?
No, primarily theological.
And do you accept this, mankind is a sinner, when we die, we're going to be judged and all this, heaven and hell, all of that stuff?
Yes, I do think that there is ultimate responsibility. There is an ultimate concept of justice, that there is a difference between right and wrong. So I do hold to fundamental theological perspective that we have responsibility and that we're going to answer at some point. I do think we live in a universe that seems to indicate that there is justice,
uh-huh.
That there is response.
Pardon me, that was